Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Just pounding the zone, let his defense play.
Voss with a high fly ball to left. This is headed back. It is good! Voss with a homer. Puts the Nittany Lions up 2-1 in the ninth.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
That sound from the Big Ten Network, where you can hear our friend Connor McKnight doing baseball play-by-play, as he was this past week. And you can see him as well on the broadcast for the White Sox on the Chicago Sports Network. And Connor McKnight joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com is how you get us. Connor, good morning. How are you? And how is the Big Ten work going? That must be fun as hell for you.
It is fun as hell, to be quite honest with you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be part of Old Home Week. Please tell Stan and Ron and even Barry that I said hello. I love them all.
I wonder if Barry remembers you. He doesn't. He barely remembers me, Connor. It's a stretch.
I doubt it. I was there for the briefest of moments. I learned everything I could from him, and then I love him very much. That is what it is. Yeah. I know. But thanks. Big Ten was a blast. It's a ton of fun. There's four new teams in the conference, 17 teams in total, 16 baseball teams. Wisconsin undefeated since 1991 when they stopped having a baseball program. But it's been great.
And are you seeing guys that you're putting in your back pocket in terms of the MLB draft? So when the time comes, you're seeing dudes you know and dudes you could maybe even recommend as you're having conversations around the White Sox organization.
A handful, to be honest with you, and I'll give you a couple. And one that I think is going to go in the later rounds this year, and it's going to be all kinds of real interesting, tooled up, low experience rock. Corbin Dickerson, a center fielder out of Indiana, is a really interesting prospect that's got some, as the scouts say, helium. It might be a bit of a developmental project, but Speaks, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening.
UCLA shortstop, often the best player on the field, Rock Chalowski, whose name is impossible to say for me without thinking of Rock the Casbah, and who hit a home run, and I wanted to make the call, Sharif don't like it, but I didn't.
Oh.
Rock Chalowski, I know, right? I know. What was I doing? I should have said, Sharif don't like it. Rock Chalowski is a potential 1-1 guy next year. He's in the mix. I mean, the smart bet is always take the field. Who knows who's going to go one overall with the way the baseball draft works. But Rock Chalowski, the sophomore shortstop at UCLA, who is not draft eligible this year but is for 2026, is the real freaking deal.
Wow.
And is going to be very interesting to watch. That guy can play.
Wow, that's cool. Rock Chalowski, he thinks it's not kosher. But my goodness, yeah. I mean, he could have gone with that one, a second home run.
I should have. And he hit two tanks. They walked him all week, and he hit two tanks on, like, the three different baseballs he swung at. He is that kind of player.
Wow, that's very cool. Love it. Connor McKnight getting a chance to do Big Ten baseball, and now back on the White Sox broadcast. Some of the conversation in hour number one, you know, sometimes it comes from me, and sometimes these days it's coming from texters. It came from callers. It came from, like, grizzled old salt callers that they're feeling this thing shift in terms of the quality of play, the overall number of useful pieces on the field, the management style, all of it. Are you seeing that and feeling that, finally?
I think so. I really do. I did an interview with Chuck, or I did a podcast with Chuck Garfine a couple of weeks ago. And the topic was like, are the White Sox turning the corner? And then they went and got swept by the Cubs the next weekend, and, you know, we kind of got dunked on or whatever. And that's fine. But, like, as you know, turning a corner constitutes more than just, like, the next week of a baseball. And it's about kind of the process set on things here. And I think, you know, as you see Benintendi get back and Austin Slater get back and Mike Tauchman kind of lengthen the lineup a little bit, I think we can see the sort of benefits that veteran shielding and insulation provides to a young team. I know we do a lot of retrospective analysis, right? But, like, whether it's the 16 Cubs or even a little bit of the 17 Astros and the teams that were the teams that got them to where they needed to be had veteran shielding on the way, guys that could take some of the bumps and bruises and deal with some of that tough stuff and help some of the young players play. Chase Meidroth was telling Brooke Fletcher about, you know, his ability to kind of learn in future at bats from guys like Slater and Tauchman. And then you've seen kind of the results. I think that stuff matters. I don't think you can just roll out a bunch of 24 and 25-year-olds on a ball club anymore and, for the most part, get what you want in terms of organization building. And we're seeing that on the field a little bit. I think that matters.
Yeah, and veteran shielding. I don't know if I've ever heard it phrased like that. Has that become common parlance? I like it. I mean,
I've been pushing it on. I was pushing it on White Sox Weekly last winter. It's probably where they let me go.
I like it, though. I like it a lot. I mean, in Tauchman yesterday, between Meidroth and Vargas, you know, and Benintendi after Vargas, in terms of the lineup and just in terms of the conversation, like, you know, cross town. But there was a moment in the Cubs-Sox series as PCA was about to have his fifth at-bat of what had been a four RBI day. Justin Turner said to him, hey, man, don't give away this at-bat just because we're up big. It was 8-3. Just because we're up big and you've had a big day, don't just go up there and give away this at bat. You know, get in there and grind it out for real. And PCA brought that up. Like, just, you never know when those conversations take place and might shift a kid's focus forever.
Yeah, little things matter. I think as baseball fans, we consume all 162 and just kind of have a tendency to look at the macro, especially when, you know, stuff like wins above replacement give us this kind of 10,000-foot view, and that's all worthwhile, right? It is. It just is. And also, the little things matter in the course of a season and that interpersonal interaction. The game's not played on paper. It's played by people, and people, thank God, can learn from their mistakes and figure out how to play the game just a little bit better. And I think providing those opportunities, I mean, shoot, we're going to talk probably, I would imagine, about Ryan Fuller here in a second, but, like, having that kind of top-down organizational viewpoint and ability to have it also matters when you're talking about prospect development in an era where prospect development is different than it's ever been, given all the biomechanics and metrics and motor preference stuff that we see throughout the game and throughout college baseball that provides, you know, a little lift to the guy that would have been an organizational filler and now becomes a guy that can get you through a couple of weeks of the season, which helps you in turn win a division title.
I've talked a lot about Brian Bannister, you know, the man in charge of pitching. What do you want to talk about Ryan Fuller? What are you seeing recent, tangible, evidential about Ryan Fuller?
Yeah. So, okay, he's going to speak today, and I'm looking forward to talking with him. His last conversation when the White Sox were in Sacramento, where the Athletics play, which is still mind-numbingly dumb, was a really interesting one. And I think now, when you've got Colson Montgomery sent to Arizona to work on things, and then you get the results of those things, that's tangible, that's immediate, right? And that may be immediate to this White Sox ball club here in the next couple of weeks, who knows? But that all matters because it's something different. And this organization, you know, you and I have talked about this a bunch too, whether it's here on the show or elsewhere. Chris Getz has gotten a lot of interesting people, people with resumes that you wouldn't think would have been interested in this job, given the fact that they lost 121 games last year, to come here and do their job. Why? Well, maybe it's because of opportunities that Ryan Fuller has had or the rest of the hitting organization. You know, let's not discount Marcus Thames and Paul Janish and all this conversation. But it's their ability to go like, yeah, you know what we're going to do? This weird thing that not a lot of people have done, and it signals something that probably is going to get talked about negatively in the media, but we're going to do it because we think this is going to work. Maybe we get results, maybe we don't. And then they kind of provide a little bit of a blueprint for perhaps how to deal with the next struggling prospect if that happens. I think it's fascinating, and I think just being able to do that from a, you know, swing from the hips or a swing from the heels kind of thing, like, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens, and they went for it.
Yeah, and Colson Montgomery, for those who don't know, since taking time out, since being prescribed time out to go to Arizona and work more specifically on a swing there, you know, since he's come back, he's hitting .316 with a .425 OBP and a .667 slug in 40 plate appearances. It's a small little sample, but that's and it was fascinating at the time, and I pushed back on the exhaustion of people. The other one is this pitching thing, this like this biomechanical pause that is being prescribed to a couple of pitchers in the system. Why, which is a fascinating thing, because why just use their minor league time to have them, you know, use bullets in that arm, which could blow up at any moment in games, might as well try to advance their development when they're hot, when they are loose, when they are in mid-season form, and try to learn everything you can to help protect them for the rest of the career. That's a fascinating decision in and of itself as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to be, because I think there's a couple of different players we can talk about here, and I don't want to lead you down a path that you were, like, are we talking Grant Taylor? Are we talking Hagen Smith? Kind of the summation of them all? Like, let's, are you thinking Grant Taylor mostly here?
No, I think, because I saw this story with Noah Schultz, I believe. I'll get to it, but you tell me about which one that you like the most.
Mm-hmm. Fair, because I think we're going in. Yeah, so the individualized approach first and foremost. That's right. I mean, the mere fact that you and I are going, oh, hey, which guy are you talking about that's being really interestingly developed? Hagen Smith or Noah Schultz or Grant Taylor is like all really good, right? Because it's this individual attack mode that I think organizations should have when it comes to individual players. I'm curious about the Grant Taylor thing because I think that guy, you know, I'd love to see him be a starter in the big leagues, and he will get that opportunity. But now being moved into a one-inning role over the next, you know, couple of weeks or what have you, mm-hmm. is not something we see done very often. And as far as, like, you know, just a me thing, like, here's how Connor would do it if you were running a, you know, an out-of-the-park baseball sim or running it on MLB The Show on Simboat or whatever, I would make this guy a starter, and I would shut him down when I feel like it, and then I would make sure that his, you know, all the characteristics of being a starter are there. That's not what's happening here with Grant Taylor. They feel really confident that this, you know, shift to relief is something that can benefit him. The ability of getting him to face more talented hitters, perhaps, with some work against MLB hitters later on down the line could very well benefit his development and still keep him on the board as a starter, which is obviously their intent. So I like the idea of shifting kind of the development signposts along the way or being willing to, you know, look at those things differently and assign benchmarks individually to players. This is all very good and I think new. Can you get there, right? I mean, at the end of the day, this is a results-driven business. And if Colson Montgomery's not your shortstop or if Grant Taylor's not a three in the rotation or whatever, then we're going to look back at this and wonder. And so will they, obviously, because that's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm. Connor, tell us who you think are the usable and useful pieces of consequence among the offensive players on this roster. Who are the legit pieces among these big leaguers right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that all of the work that Miguel Vargas has done from the beginning of spring training, the end of last year to now, makes him a really interesting piece and maybe like a, you know, second division or perhaps even first division, third base or first base kind of mixed guy. That's all there. Are we talking just major league roster? Because, you know, like Chase Mydroth is very evidently there.
I think
With the work that Edgar Caro has done, like, that's there, and I'd love to see that get better defensively as well, and I think we are seeing that, which is very good. I think Brooks Baldwin is a player. I know he's not and just got sent down, but I think Brooks Baldwin is a player and a guy who provides a lot to a ball club from many different positions. It'll be interesting to see the rework that he gets done at AAA Charlotte. I am kind of probably space on some here too, but I think Kyle Teals, I mean, looking 30-game on base streak, 19-game hit streak, hitting the bejesus out of the baseball. I haven't looked at the Charlotte Knights line score from last night yet today. That's my gig as soon as we get off the phone here. But he's been hitting really well, and I think that's all there. I think those are real pieces. I think the rest is going to get looked at. You know, I think for the most part, the rest will get looked at and probably should.
Yeah, Hagen Smith and Jairo Iriarte are the pitchers I was referring to as I scrambled there for a second, Connor. They're getting a rest for biomechanics work. So that was the story from a few days back. Hagen Smith and Jairo Iriarte taking a break for biomechanics work. I like the willingness when you're an organization in this spot to pause like they did with Montgomery, and I'm connecting this pause for biomechanics work to it. Like, you don't have to just keep playing and slogging away at the everyday nature of minor league ball when it's might be making you dig in worse mentally and mechanically.
I think especially when it comes to pitchers, like, you remember Jake Peavy being here, right? And yep. He would talk all the time about how, you know, first he would talk about injuries and how the ankle affects everything all the way up to the lat that blew off of his body, right? I mean, you have this kinetic chain. And he would talk also about how mechanical issues can link to future mechanical issues. You keep going out there with bad, bad mechanics, right? That's going to affect the rest of your setup and stuff. And it just kind of makes sense that if you've got the opportunity that you can take this with a player that can understand why we're doing it and how we're going to get this done.
Yep.
I hope that's the case for Jairo and for Hagen. Then you can kind of hit a little bit of a soft reset button, right? You don't have to slam the thing all the way through the roof like on the Super Nintendo or anything, but you can just kind of gently flip that thing forward, restart Mario, and get back on your way, right? And I think that matters. I think that all really does matter because we see, I mean, you know this because this is what you're on, right? We talk all the time about this individualized approach to player development, whether it be through edutronic stuff or pitch grip or biomechanics or all this sort of stuff. If we have the technology to literally sit down and individualize the development approach to each and every player, why aren't we doing it loudly, you know? And I think that's part of what we're seeing here.
Yeah, I think it is. Connor McKnight, thanks so much. We're going to have Keith Law on in a few minutes, and we'll get a chance to talk to Miguel Vargas of the White Sox at about 10:40. So it should be an action-packed hour. Welcome back. Enjoy your day and enjoy the ballgame.
Thanks. Tell Keith Law I also like Mitch Voit as a middle-round draft pick, third baseman, second baseman out of Michigan. He's a good player.
You got him. I'm going to connect you guys on the side and let you guys carry that out. But thank you for the opportunity.
Right.
I'll also connect you and Rosner to get to know each other as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Connor. That's Connor McKnight. He's the best. It speaks with you on Hit and Run. You heard it. Keith Law next. Miguel Vargas after that. Lots of Cubs stuff in the final hour at 11 o'clock here on The Score.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Now the 0-1. Swung on, line, right field and deep. Near the corner, it's down. One run is in. They're going to wave McConnell around. Here's the throw. It is cut off. Throw to the plate is late in the dash win. The dash win. 5-4. Braden Montgomery, our hero once again.
Hit and run with Matt Spiegel. Sunday mornings on The Score.
The senior baseball writer for The Athletic, Keith Law. You have known him through the years. For a variety of outlets, writing about prospects, writing about development, writing very smart baseball books. The word is right there in the title, in fact. And Keith Law joins us now, and we're thrilled about it. On the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline, download the Circa app today. Keith, welcome in to Hit and Run. It's me, Matt Spiegel, here with you in Chicago. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We are good. So, Braden Montgomery, should Sox fans be excited about him on the lower levels of the White Sox system these days?
Yes. I'm a big fan. I thought he was a top five prospect in the draft class last year. I think I actually had him ranked higher at the time than the guy the White Sox actually took in Hagen Smith. Then, of course, Montgomery was hurt, then he gets traded, so we didn't get to see him play in pro ball until now, and they've taking it easy with him, right? He was pretty old and advanced for low A. He raked there. They move him up to high A, a little more appropriate. He's raking. He's got to be in double A very soon at this point. I think that'll be the big test, but I'm pretty excited. Like, I think you've got a plus defender in right. He's got a great arm. He can hit. They're going to have to figure out the switch hitting question. I think that's going to be the ultimate, the sort of the last big thing. Are they going to let him continue to hit right-handed? He's got power from both sides, but he's a much better hitter lefty. And that's the kind of thing they'll probably work out over the course of the rest of this year, maybe the beginning of next year before targeting a call.
Looking at your articles on The Athletic over the course of the season so far, I'm like seeing a guy whose life and his beat is all over the minor leagues and all over development. There's stuff on Andrew Painter. There's stuff on, you know, anytime a prospect comes up, Keith Law will be asked to chime in. So, I mean, I hope you're enjoying it. We're certainly enjoying reading it. What have you learned about predicting success for hitters at this point, like that maybe you did not believe if such a thing exists in your 30s or even your 40s?
My 40s are a memory at this point. The one thing that has changed in the last, let's say post-pandemic, because of the changes in the minor leagues, but also the acceleration of pitching, just pitching has gotten so much better in the majors. Velocity-wise, pitch shape, pitch development, new pitch types we hadn't seen before. It is really, really hard to hit major league pitching. And a lot of very highly regarded hitting prospects who hit everywhere in the minors struggle, at least at first, in the majors. You have to give these guys time. And that's regardless of system, regardless of league. I don't care who you're talking about. Whether they come up from double A, come up from triple A, it's a huge, huge leap. I was at that triple A game the other day with Andrew Painter pitching, and Painter is ridiculous. There wasn't another pitcher in that game who was close to major league quality stuff across the board. And that is, it's just really hard for guys to make that leap and to predict who's going to be good their first time up I think the clubs that bring, and the Cubs did this, right? Bring a guy up, oh, 10 games, he's not hitting, let's send him back down. You don't get it. You just, that's a failure of process, because we have seen so many very highly talented hitters struggle on their first exposure to major league pitching this year, last year, basically since the pandemic.
Well, that's interesting. Well, tell us what you think about the Matt Shaw thing, because what I was fascinated by was they sent him down with specific instructions to change the leg kick, but he didn't do it until like there were two games left in his stint down there. They just sent him down and they let him rake against pitching that they knew he would hit, let him get comfortable, worked with him behind the scenes, and didn't force him to do the stuff until the last two games of like a 20-game stint. I found that fascinating. What do you think of that process?
Well, go back even a little bit further. Why does he make the club out of spring training if, A, you don't like the leg kick? And look, there's good reasons to say a leg kick as high as his was is not great, right? It can mess with timing. You don't see a lot of major league hitters who do that. Some do. And if you can succeed with that, fine. But the majority of guys don't. So, one, why did he make the club if you've got a mechanical thing you think he needs to work on? And two, why did he make the club if you know your trigger is going to be that quick? How long was he up? 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. You do not put a top prospect. You do that with a fringe guy. That's fine. Because obviously teams cycle through the last couple spots on their roster all the time. Matt Shaw is the best prospect in the system. Of course you want to treat him differently. And you want to have much more of a plan for him than to say, well, if he struggles in the first 10, 12 games, we're just going to send him back down and then tell him to work on something, but not actually make him work on that until, you know, the last couple of games. Oh, you did it for two games. Great. Now we'll call you up. It just speaks to a lack of process across the board. You have to have plans for players of that ilk, and that's going to apply to all of their top hitting prospects, all of their top prospects, period, honestly.
Really? So, well, tell us more about that, because Owen Casey and Kevin Alcantara at AAA are guys that they might be asked to give up. James Triantos too, I suppose, though he's not really hitting. But Casey or Alcantara, you know, if they want Sandy Alcantara, if they want a closer, you know, from somewhere else, should they be willing to give up those guys? And what are your thoughts on the two of them?
I think those guys should be available in the right trade, right? I mean, I'm much higher on Alcantara because I think there's just a lot more upside. He's probably going to play up the middle. He still hasn't even finished filling out physically. I think you've seen a lot of improvements as he's moved up. He's made more adjustments over the course of his minor league career that makes me think there will be further adjustments to come. But both those guys are flawed. Both those guys are swinging and missing and striking out far too much in AAA right now. They're certainly not ready to come up and hit big league pitching. And so I think if you're getting the right guy in return, you're getting somebody, you know, elite, a difference maker, in particular for Alcantara, you should be willing to make a trade. But I wouldn't see either of those guys right now as a solution to anything on the major league roster.
Talking to Keith Law from The Athletic here on 670 The Score. What teams are great at cobbling together bullpens with their development staff, and because we're trying to figure out, everybody seems to do the same thing: find somebody else's trash, see if you can add a pitch, or find something mechanical and change it up. Or are there some orgs that are better at building bullpen arms than others?
Well, the Dodgers do a little of all of that, right? And it's not money. People like to say, "Oh, the Dodgers have all this money." I mean, yeah, that's obviously how you get Shohei Ohtani, right? That's how you trade for and then sign Mookie Betts to a long term extension. That is, you look at their bullpen, it's a bunch of no names. It is a bunch of cast offs. You call them someone else's trash. Maybe I wouldn't use that particular word, but I get it, right? You get someone off the scrap heap, change a pitch. Your pro scouts, the Rays do this too. The Rays target guys in other systems to say, if we change this one thing, we think this guy can be much better. Sometimes it's as simple as moving to the bullpen. It can be adding a pitch, changing an arm slot, changing pitch usage. That does seem to be the way. There are not many teams out there who actively develop their own pitching, like on mass, right? Their own relief pitching, I mean, in particular. Like, you can point to the Mariners and say they've done a great job drafting and developing starting pitching. Their bullpen looks just like everybody else's. It's a bunch of random guys picked up on waivers, picked up in trades. And the point I want to make, though, is we treat these guys as very disposable. And that is not a sustainable model for the industry, right? I'm going to pick this guy up. I'll get a good year and a half out of him. He'll either stop being good or he'll blow out. And then I'll just go find the next guy. That's not going to work. The supply of relief pitchers is not actually infinite.
Well, I mean, that's fascinating because it's clearly what they're doing. Like, what's they don't think they're going to run out of people like that. You think they will run out? That orgs will run out of people like that?
Oh, yeah, the guys will. I think for a lot of reasons. I think that the pace of pitcher injuries, and it's particularly elbows, right? It's the, you know, by limiting overuse, we have gotten rid of a lot of shoulder injuries. Not all, but drastically reduced the rate of those catastrophic shoulder injuries. But guys blow out their elbows all the time. We treat it like it's normal. I don't think that is a permanent model. I don't think that's sustainable. You know, as you were asking the question too, you know who does do it well with their bullpens? The Yankees. Hmm. The Yankees have actually, they target certain guys in the draft. They tie it in really well with development. They have certain characteristics in pitchers, particularly fastball shape, fastball angle, that they like. And it has developed guys who pitch in the majors for them, especially in relief, and guys who they can use in trade. So they might be the exemplar in that one category.
You know, I had to ask Carter Hawkins on the air a couple of weeks ago about the Athletics survey that Tyler Kepner put out there, your colleague, that didn't have the Cubs in the top 20 based on, you know, executives and managers voting them in the top five. It's hard for Cub fans to wrap their head around the fact that the Cubs are not thought of that way in the industry. Is that merited that they're not thought of that way?
I don't actually know the article you're talking about, so I can't speak specifically. Like, the Cubs have things that people praise and things people don't, right? They whacked a whole bunch of scouts. They don't have the pro scouting presence particularly that they used to. I think that's just wrong. I think that's a really foolhardy way to approach it. I don't know why you would say you don't want more information. They do a lot of video scouting and a lot of data, and I think that's going to hurt them on the pro scouting side. I think they do a great job in the draft. Since Dan Kantrowitz took over in particular, they've drafted extremely well. I think they tie in really well with player development. I think they've done a really good job on the hitting side, particularly in player development. A little bit of a challenge on the pitching side, but they're also not alone. And they don't draft pitchers very high. So those two things do go together. So, you know, to me, I think they do, like I said, they do things well. They do things not so well. I don't think they're in the tier with, like I mentioned, the Dodgers and the Rays, who I think are the two probably model franchises, different ends of the budget spectrum. But they do things exceptionally well across all areas of baseball operations, and they're very integrated. Everybody is working together. That's the model. If you handed me the reins to any team tomorrow, that's the model I would pursue.
Interesting. And then what are your thoughts on the way the White Sox are doing it now with Paul Janisch there, Ryan Fuller taking care of the hitting at the top, and Brian Bannister with the pitching?
They brought in great people. Honestly, I think they could bring in more great people. I think there's still a lot of room to add. I have expected them to add more, particularly on the scouting side, that we haven't seen yet, but maybe those are to come. I know that getting the owner to spend more money has often been a challenge. I don't want to underestimate the size of the job of rebuilding that franchise. Like, that is an almost impossible task. The only one worse might be rebuilding Colorado, honestly, because you're also trying to do it at altitude. But the White Sox, that system that Getz took over, they were behind not just in talent, right? It was easy to point and say, well, the farm system's terrible. Oh, they haven't drafted well. Oh, they haven't traded well, et cetera. But also the systems were in place, right? He has had to build processes. He has had to build up staff. He's had to change the culture. That stuff takes years. And it is entirely possible Chris Getz will be the GM there for 4 or 5 years, and they won't be good enough, and he'll be replaced, and someone else will come in and sort of finish the job, because it is going to be so hard to turn, 121 losses? To get that to just 85 wins, that's not going to happen overnight, given how far they had fallen, even behind the scenes.
Good stuff from Keith Law. Two specifics that the White Sox are doing. One, they paused Colson Montgomery, took him out of the minor league day-to-day, and took him to Arizona, worked on a swing, and then brought him back. Results have been great in 40 plate appearances. What did you think of that process?
I wouldn't have sent him to AAA in the first place. I've spoken to scouts who've seen him, and he's a mess. Nobody thinks he's ready, going to be close to ready to come up to the majors. He's not a shortstop. He's going to swing and miss a ton. I don't know what you do with him. They pushed him so aggressively. He also had the serious back injury, and I don't want to ignore that. But they pushed him so aggressively because he was the jewel of the system at one point. And now they're kind of stuck. You can't send him, you really don't want to send him back down to Double A. I don't know if that accomplishes anything. But he's probably going to end up spending a couple of years at AAA until he has sustained success, right? You're going to have success over months, maybe a full season before you're comfortable bringing this guy up for any extended period of time.
Wow, interesting. Because it's been a real good success rate in a small sample since the swing changes. So that'll be one to watch. And then they paused a couple of pitchers for biomechanical work here, again, in the middle of the season, just to kind of work on some stuff as opposed to having them keep throwing bullets. That seemed like an interesting thought process as well to me. Want to know what you thought of that.
It's something I think you see a lot of good organizations doing. You know, everybody has a different reason for it. What would they call it? Load management. I hear that one a lot. It's basically we're trying to balance the workload, keep guys healthy for a full season while still allowing them to work on the things they need to work on. Can't let these guys pitch forever. Obviously, you got to always have guys coming off injury or guys who just haven't pitched this much before and you want to work them up responsibly. The fact that the White Sox are saying anything about biomechanics should make White Sox fans feel really good, because I feel like 3 years ago that just never happened. Like I don't remember any discussions of that. In fact, the White Sox had and kind of still have a reputation for being willing to take guys with questionable deliveries. And I would add Hagen Smith to that. I would add Noah Schultz to that, right? They love those low slot lefties, slingers, kind of high in the back, maybe the arm's late, breaking ball is questionable. Worked with Chris Sale.
Yep.
Schultz's breaking ball, kind of a question. Smith's breaking ball has not been very good this year. Obviously, he's walking a lot of guys, which isn't great. You know, I'm not saying you don't take those guys, to be clear. And, like, Hagen Smith was really good in college. He was a perfectly fine pick. But, you know, that also points to, hey, maybe you should just factor in deliveries a little bit more. Or do it on the development side. Get these guys in and say, all right, we're going to fine-tune this. So, in the case of Hagen Smith, you can throw more strikes. In the case of Noah Schultz, maybe we can either improve the breaking ball or get more shape on the fastball, right? Schultz has great velocity. Fastball doesn't miss as many bats as you would think, given how hard he throws it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing you can work on in the process you're talking about.
Thank you so much, Keith Law. Pleasure. We'll do it again. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
You got it. That's Keith Law from The Athletic. We'll take a break. Interesting stuff to think about there. The White Sox do have a staff biomechanist, biomechanics guy on staff, and he has helped our next guest succeed. We'll explain. We'll talk to Miguel Vargas this hour on 670 The Score.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333. Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick.
Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Here's the payoff. Lifted high in the air. Back it goes to left. Miguel Vargas gets the Sox on the board. Yeah, that's how we get it started. A two-run shot here in this first inning. Sox with a 2-0 lead.
Well, we told you the power's coming. There's an example of it.
Hit and run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
That a home run from Miguel Vargas yesterday. If not yesterday, it was earlier in the week. Because Vargas didn't homer yesterday. Did hit a hard double down the left field line. And we're going to talk to him at the top of the hour here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Looking forward to talking to Miguel Vargas. In the meantime, here on Hit and Run, we can update you on a few other things regarding today's baseball. It's going to be Davis Martin and Patrick Corbin for the White Sox and the Rangers later on today. Corbin having a very nice bounce back season after being an absolute disaster for the Washington Nationals. But Corbin has had a nice season for Texas, and they'll try to salvage one game from this White Sox series. The Rangers at 25-28 against the White Sox at 17-35. Davis Martin coming off a really good game his last time out. What did he go, 7 1/3 his last time out, I believe, for Davis Martin? So that'll come up later today. And I can tell you this, as we look at the standings around MLB, the Chicago White Sox are no longer the worst team in the American League. The Baltimore Orioles have a worse record than the Chicago White Sox. 17-34 as compared. Oh, half game. My bad. The White Sox are still the worst team in the American League. That's too bad. I thought the Orioles had passed them up. But how about that? The Orioles are 17-34. I think their second game got rained out in Boston. I believe it got rained out the other night in Boston. But anyway, the Orioles are the most disappointing team in baseball, and it is not close. 14 games back in the American League East, and Mike Elias and the ownership, the Rubenstein family, are absolutely flubbing what was a really impressive-looking window. Very, very sad for Orioles fans. But the White Sox at 17-35... Hey, man, after today, maybe they can be ahead of the Orioles for the worst team in the American League. In terms of the Cubs and the Reds will get going for the third game of their series a little bit later on today. And that's going to be Nick Lodolo, the lefty for the Reds, 4-4 with a 3-2-2 against Ben Brown, who remains in the rotation, 3-3 with a 5.44 ERA. Craig Counsell knows those questions are coming, and they're coming frequently about Ben Brown, but he's going to stay in the rotation. Right now, the bullpen has been fortified with Ryan Brazier, who got here on Friday, and Brooks Kreske, who got here yesterday. Julian Merriweather has been designated for assignment, and Ethan Roberts has been sent back down. I don't know how many options like a guy like Ethan Roberts has, but I don't believe he threw a single pitch. They brought him up and sent him down, and I don't think that's the first time in his career that that specific thing has happened to the man. It's a pretty brutal life sometimes. Hey, welcome. It's good to see you. All right. Yep, don't need you anymore. You still got options, and off you go. There is a roster move we need to tell you about for the Cubs, and that is Reese McGuire. Yes, the former White Sox catcher, former Blue Jays catcher, former Red Sox catcher. Reese McGuire is now up from AAA to be with the Cubs because Miguel Amaya has gone to the injured list. Miguel Amaya, was he asked last night after the game, Sean, about the injury, or is that Craig Counsell asked after the game about the injury. I think this
was Amaya. Actually.
This is Miguel describing the injury and what happened. It's an oblique muscle. Here's Miguel Amaya after the game.
It was in the throwdown second base when De La Cruz steely base filled discomfort in there and mentally, tried to throw the game, but sadly couldn't keep in the game.
What kind of pain is it? How would you describe it?
Well, we're looking for testing for on Tuesday, so we're going to wait for those results, see what's going on in there.
So that's a little scary. It's an oblique muscle. There's no testing until Tuesday after the holiday. They'll be home tomorrow. Cubs starting a series with the Rockies with the Memorial Day afternoon game, and then the testing on Tuesday when everybody kind of opens back up for business. Hope it's not a torn muscle of any kind. I mean, an unwillingness to get into the nitty-gritty of it, but there are different severities of oblique muscle injuries. You've seen a lot of it with the Cubs already. And I don't know enough to make a sweeping generalization. I'm tempted to make a sweeping generalization about oblique muscles. Should I go ahead and make it as long as I...
I mean, you just discovered you have one, right?
Well, I know
you've had one.
That's insulting, Sean. I know I've had an oblique muscle. I believe I have an oblique muscle injury.
That's what I was meaning to
imply. I don't know for sure that that's what it is. I know that I have pain in my chest that sometimes I feel in my back, and sometimes it seems to move across to other muscles. And I know that it's muscular in nature. It's not a hard issue.
You sound like an expert. I feel like you should be I don't know.
You sound like a jerk. That's what you sound like.
I'm really not meaning these things to come out
yes,
the way they are.
Yes, you are.
I'm really not.
That's all right. I can take it. Whatever. Sean Sears is our producer for the last time today.
Robbie Triable, here he comes.
Do you have options left? Does Robbie have options left? I don't want to make either of you guys.
I don't know, man.
The Ethan Roberts
There's
of this show.
An interesting clubhouse situation going on after this show. We'll have to see.
You got to be very tender and gentle with people. No, here's the deal. All right, here's the sweeping generalization that I'm going to say is sweeping, okay? Or as Terry Bores used to like to say, I'm going to take out the broad brush. I have brought the broad brush with me, and now I'm going to paint with it. It's extremely broad. And all these oblique muscle injuries makes me think that maybe weightlifting is part of the problem for a sport where flexibility and athleticism seems to be very, very important, that maybe there's a little too much concentration on building muscle mass. Now, the thing is that kind of idea goes in cycles in Major League Baseball. And Lord knows we've seen cycles involving performance-enhancing drugs. We've seen cycles where, like, guys got super thick and strong, and then their muscles could indeed become an issue. And that hasn't seemed to be the way. So I don't believe that my broad brush, that my sweeping generalization is as founded as maybe some of you have thought, as you have texted such things during the course of the show.
Well, like, one, to your point, though, Spiegs, like, Seiya Suzuki very specifically said that part of the issues that he had is he felt he was less mobile when he had that oblique issue about 2 years ago.
But that's the thing. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. That's what happens when you have the injury, is that your mobility is decreased. So, look, there have been oblique muscle injuries for multiple players on this Cubs roster. I'm sure that they will look into it. It's starting to have that feel of when the White Sox lost everybody to hamstrings and soft tissues a few years back, and we started to question, like, all those kinds of things. I don't know. I just know that the oblique muscle is a big deal in a rotational sport. I mean, think about Miguel Amaya. Every swing is a rotation. Every time he jumps up and he's throwing like that, it is a rotation. Texture says he saw a picture of me and he's surprised that I have obliques. Screw you, buddy. You auditioning to be the producer? Is that it?
It's apparently that's all you need to do
My
these
God.
Days.
Oh, wait. That text is from Robbie Triano. He's out. He's out, just like that.
Robbie, I told him to hold back.
Yeah. So, look, these are the questions that have to be asked. These are the conversations that need to take place from people on the beat who can ask it with a good, thoughtful approach. Are you worried about the proliferation of these oblique muscles? Is there anything in your training that concerns you as an organization? And I hope those questions are asked to both Craig Counsell and to Jed Hoyer and or Carter Hawkins sometime very soon. But in the meantime, yes, Reese McGuire is here. And if you're immediately thinking of something sordid in Reese McGuire's past that happened off the field and in a car, I understand, because it's hard for these things to leave our minds. Coming up later on today for the Cubs, it's Lodolo against Ben Brown. As I mentioned, we don't have a lineup just yet against the lefty. I would assume that it is Carson Kelly. And in fact, there it is. This lineup is now out. It's Happ, followed by Tucker, then Suzuki, then Kelly as your cleanup hitter against the lefty Nick Lodolo, then Swanson, who's absolutely killing it of late, as your five hitter. Pete Crow Armstrong nestled there right in six. I love it. Nico Horner, who is red hot with a terrific at bat on Friday night before the Grand Slam, a very long at bat that Matt Shaw yesterday morning on Inside the Clubhouse credited as kind of giving that lineup the confidence to know that they were coming back. And you're going to hear that as part of our Matt Shaw interview that we're going to bring back from Inside the Clubhouse a little bit later on next hour. So Nico's hitting seventh. Justin Turner, fresh off the first home run of his season, hits eighth. And Matt Shaw is hitting ninth. No Michael Bush against the lefty again. I wonder if that's going to change at any time soon. I was thinking that maybe it was, but it seems that Justin Turner's getting more leeway, and he did homer yesterday. It is Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on 670 The Score. Next hour, Team of the Moment. As I mentioned, you'll hear from Matt Shaw, and we'll hear from Miguel Vargas of the White Sox on The Score and Hit and Run.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333. Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist,
or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.